Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we are halfway home on a Wednesday, midpoint of our week here on Ben and Woods. Great to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And we are talking, of course, all things Padres baseball, as we normally do here on the program this morning. And, you know, the other thing, Benny, I was going to bring up about, you know, the constant flurry of trades and activity is you did get a sense a few weeks ago, and maybe you still have it, that the San Diego Padres of this year, they've been talking a lot about how they are more together, how there is less of maybe a fractured clubhouse for whatever reason. That always changes when three to four guys get moved or two to three guys get added. It's got to be the right fit, got to be the right personality. But if you're a Padre and you've been here for five, six, 7 years, you're used to it, I would imagine, at this point. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing that you need to consider. As far as, you know, the long-term future of the team, it's just such a weird spot to be in for this team, committed so heavily to so many people for so long. You know, the other question that no one's asking is, obviously you wouldn't do it being at, because the NL is not great and you're in a wild card spot right now. But like, what pieces do you move from the big league team that could potentially help you? Or do you not want to do that? Because I'll tell you this right now. I see a lot of people saying trade Ha-Sung Kim. You know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Well, listen. I know of three to four players in there that would probably riot if you traded Ha-Sung Kim. Now, that's not a reason when you're trying to win a World Series to not do that. But, you know, you talk about the makeup of a team, and there's just guys not playing well right now. You know what I mean? But, again, if you wanted to be a mercenary, you know, you could trade a guy like Ha-Sung Kim. You brought up the point off the air. There's guys on this roster that they have control of for a while. I don't want to move Jackson Merrill. I don't think you should do it at all.
Well,
I think that would be insane.
Okay, so I did mention it.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Hey,
which
Jackson?
Is different than mentioning it on the air, but no, that's fine.
Oh, I didn't know you didn't.
No, that's fine.
I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus.
No. I'll explain myself because.
Oh God.
Listen to the logic. I think you were touching on it. Trading Ha-Sung Kim does nothing to help this team. There's no team out there that's. Like the White Sox, they have no use for Ha-Sung Kim.
None whatsoever.
They're not going anywhere this year. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Now, you could trade Ha-Sung Kim to a contender.
Like the Dodgers, who need a shortstop.
But a contender is going to give you prospects back.
Correct.
Which you could do. There's an argument to be made that you're going to lose Ha-Sung Kim at the end of the year. If you can get something for him, go ahead and do that. I will listen to that argument.
And can this team stay around 500 without Ha-Sung Kim?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So there's an argument to be made for that. But if you're trying to improve this roster, you're talking right now, there's only a handful of teams that are going to be willing to give up current big leaguers. They're the teams that really don't think they're in it. We're talking the Marlins, the White Sox, and, you know, the Angels, maybe a couple of other teams. They're only going to be interested either in your prospects or guys with a lot of team control.
Correct.
And one of those guys,
which I
mentioned, is Jackson Merrill, a player who we are very excited about. I've loved everything I've seen about him, but is playing out of position again with the Padres. Has done a really nice job out of position, but he's not playing somewhere where he's comfortable. He's at a valuable position that a lot of teams look and say, hey, a shortstop who's already shown he can kind of handle the bat pretty well in the big league level, seems to have a good head on his shoulders. he would be someone that would be very valuable to another team that would be willing to part with big leaguers right now because they're
right
not
now,
in it.
Because they're not going anywhere.
And you actually could, if you acquired like a big league outfielder, like a Luis Robert,
yep.
You could actually fill his spot in the outfield. You can move Tatis to center field, put Robert in a corner, you can move Tatis back to the infield, whatever you wanted to do, depending on who you acquired. You could do that. I don't think the Padres are interested in trading Jackson Merrill.
I doubt it.
But if they don't think he's going to develop a little more power, if he's simply a good bat-to-ball guy, which he's shown, you already have the best bat-to-ball guy in baseball now, in Luis Arraez.
Can you have too many bat-to-ball guys?
Actually, yes. Well, no. But you also have
that game against Kansas City where they just rattled off like 14 singles in a row.
That was
I was fine
good.
With that.
I was, but then remember after that they've gone three games where they've now struggled to do that. It's that is that's a little fickle.
Yeah.
Having a few power guys, you know, who are going to hit you 35 to 40 bombs, those go well with your bat to ball guys. And right now they're not getting the power to go with the bat to ball guys that they've got. You need a mix of both. And until you know, you think Tatis is that 40. He's hit 40 before. Not anywhere on pace to do close to that this year. Manny is at, you know, consistently 30.
He's not anywhere
near that pace either. And really, you're not left with anybody else who you even kind of can hope on that can get to a level like that on your team. Xander, even if he's healthy, is not going to be that at playing at Petco Park. You don't have enough power on this team right now. So locking up all your bat to ball guys is just stocking up on an area where you're already doing well. Where are the guys who can drive those guys in, though?
Yeah,
I guess my question is: you just said locking up guys, you know, locking up players. How many more players can the Padres really lock up?
Yeah, I mean, like,
what do you consider locking up?
None. You're going to have to trade some people to clear some room. And if you can't trade any of your long term guys, which you probably can't.
No.
Then you have to consider trading the guys that you have control over that don't have no trade clauses.
Or your prospects. That's your option.
Those are your only options.
I've kind of come to grips as a major fan of Ha-Sung Kim that he's not going to be in a Padres uniform after this year.
I just
don't see how they can, A, pay him what he's going to command.
Now, could he defer 98% of his salary to 20 years from now like other people have?
Everybody else is so locked up for much longer than what Ha-Sung Kim's probably going to, a 5-6 year contract maybe. Like, you've got your whole infield and your right fielder is locked up for that long. Like, I can't do another 6 years of just shifting guys around. Like, I would like a more stability in the lineup.
And in the organization, potentially. Yeah. That's why I think
6 more years of having eight different infielders. You're like, oh,
but, like, okay, conversely, you keep adding mercenaries, even if they have a year or two of control. Because Dylan Cease has what? 1 year after this one?
1 year after this one.
So he's, you know, he's essentially, it's like the guarantee in radio. I've got what's our 90 days? If they fire me, they have to pay me for 90 days, even though I have a 3-year contract. I get paid for 90 days, 3 months. Okay. The 1 year remaining of control, it is what it is. You're probably looking to move him because he's more attractive. You're not going to re-sign him because you don't have the money. You may wait to the deadline if you're not in it, but what if you're in it? There's a lot to think about with all of these moves. What does the ideal San Diego Padres team look like 3 to 4 years from now? Is Ethan Salas and Jackson Merrill your cornerstones? But you still have Manny. You still got you. You still got Joe. You still got Crony. You got Xander. You got Tatis. I mean, it's in theory, when healthy, sounds like a decent team the next three to four years.
If you keep those guys, if you keep Merrill and Salas, you know, in 4 years, you better hope that they're all like high level all stars.
Exactly.
Because they're going to be the guys that are the core. And then you're going to have kind of some aging veterans that you're hoping still have a little bit left in the tank. They're not going to be able to carry the team anymore. Maybe, you know, hopefully will still be of an age in 4 or 5 years where he's in his prime. But Manny and Xander won't be. And you and Joe Musgrove won't be.
Me? I definitely won't be.
You Darvish won't be.
Oh, you Darvish.
So you're going to need, if you're keeping those guys, they're going to have to be stars.
Yes.
So is Jackson Merrill going to be a star in Major League Baseball in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years? If he is, you keep him.
Yeah.
If you don't think he's going to be a star, if he's just a good,
but who could say?
Well, that's the job that's AJ Preller's job for him to try to say which guys are going to be stars and which guys are just pieces that you can use right now to make your team better. I don't know. But it's his job to, you know, at least have the best opinion on what is true and what is not true. And he hasn't been right all that often either over the last few years.
As far as which ones to
keep and which ones not to keep.
Yeah. And so it certainly begs, it makes interesting talking points, also exhausting talking points, because I don't know if it's feasible to go out and get three guys from the White Sox for all of your prospects. I don't have a lack of faith that he's able to replenish the farm, though. He always does. That's the only thing that helps me sleep at night is like, well, they said he couldn't do it. He did it again and potentially even better. So
given another, you know, year and a half, yeah. I'm pretty confident Padres will have a lot of top ranked prospects 100%. That Baseball America loves.
Of course.
And, you know, other teams will salivate over.
Correct.
So he does that very well.
No
consistently.
Doubt. No doubt.
We need a contestant for Take on Woods. We pushed it back from last hour since we had Adam Jones on. So call right now. If you don't get to play, if you're a little bit of a late riser, joins the program a little bit later. We've got an instant win prize this week. We have tickets to the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair featuring Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall. Tickets are on sale now at sdfair.com, but you can win them right now by taking on Woods in our musical trivia challenge. 833-288-0973. Call now. 833-288-0973. We'll play our game as soon as we get a contestant dialed in. Still to come on the second half of the program. We'll obviously talk some more Padres baseball as we move forward. Looking forward to a Rindle report now that Paulie's back. Went to Las Vegas, brought us back some nice gifts.
What'd you get?
From Las Vegas. I got more of the cards that they hand out on the strip.
What do you do with yours? Do you have a little folder at home?
What do I do? No, usually just stick them in my wallet just in case you ever need them.
Wallet.
Yeah. I mean, fantastic. These ones are a little big, though.
I feel
like they're getting supersized now. They used to be a little bit smaller. Now they're not really wallet-sized.
Well, you got to stand out.
They've cracked down on them on the strip. They're not everywhere anymore. They used to be on every single street corner that you walked on. Flapping them right in your face.
Yeah.
Take these.
You're like, buddy, I'm with my wife. What are you doing? Get out of my
Should
face.
I get one of those nice, you know, like sleeves like they put baseball cards in?
Oh, please get one. I'll get you one for Christmas.
Maybe even mounted, like behind... You know, heavy plastic on a wall.
Interesting word choice.
Very interesting word choice.
All right, I see some people calling in. Let's get to today's game. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods.
Take on
Woods.
All right, let's go to line two. Who's this? You're on the air.
This is Nathan.
Nathan, are you ready to play Take on Woods?
I am ready.
All right, you're our contestant today. You already know what we're playing for. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. You go first. Woods goes second. Five questions. Ooh. If you beat or tie him, we will give you the tickets to the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair. Here are your categories. It's not false. Pretty obvious, but I'll let you figure that one out. Ooh, ooh, I know this one. Those are bands with double O in their name. And our new category, Over Under, those are song titles that include either over or under in the title. So It's Not False, Ooh, Ooh, I Know This One, or Over Under, Nathan. What would you like to play?
Let's do Over Under.
Over Under. All right. So today you're gambling with your knowledge of song titles that include either over or under in the title. You'll have 60 seconds for the five questions. If you don't know, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left. First question is the two-second song. You need to identify the title of the song and the artist for the point. So, Nathan, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, Paulie, 60 seconds on the clock. Good to go. Remember the category over, under. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Nathan. Let's take on Woods.
Men at Work. Men at Work.
Yep. What's the title of the song? You can pass.
Man Down Under.
Nope, that's not it. Which Men at Work song is considered the unofficial national anthem of Australia?
Who Can It Be Now?
No! Incorrect! Hey Now, Hey Now. Which 1986 song was a debut hit for the band Crowded House?
Pass.
Mick Jagger sings about the way she talks when she's spoken to in which 1966 classic by the Rolling Stones?
Oh, man, I'm not doing good this point.
Ah, Spin Magazine called which 1973 track with a six-word title the quintessential Led Zeppelin song with an unforgettable and impossible-to-pin-down opening riff and a life-affirming transition from acoustic to electric? Oh, I thought it was starting so well. He got Men at Work. He was right there. And then the titles just did not come to him. Overkill was our two-second song. Down Under, of course, is the unofficial national anthem of Australia. Just didn't put those two together. Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House. Under My Thumb from the Stones. And Over the Hills and Far Away by Led Zeppelin. This is going to be a Woods win. But we'll see if he can manage this category without knowing what it's about. Tricky one. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Nathan.
It's Men at Work. Overkill?
Correct. And which Men at Work song is considered the unofficial national anthem of Australia?
Land Down Under.
Correct. Hey Now, which 1986 song was a debut hit for the band Crowded House?
Don't Dream It's Over.
Correct. Mick Jagger sings about the way she talks when she's spoken to in which 1966 classic by the Rolling Stones?
Under My Thumb.
Correct. Spin Magazine called which 1973 track with a six-word title the quintessential Led Zeppelin song with an unforgettable and impossible-to-pin-down opening riff and a life-affirming transition from acoustic to electric?
Oh, Stairway to Heaven.
No, I didn't say it. Six words, you said. It did. What's the category?
Over the Hills and Far Away.
Yes, it is! Hey, very good. Five for five. Clean sweep and a 5-0 shutout win today.
I love
the category
overkill
was
so much.
Over Under.
I love Overkill.
That is a great song.
It's such a great song.
Overkill, Down Under, Don't Dream It's Over, Under My Thumb, and Over the Hills and Far Away. I wasn't sure if anyone was going to get that one. You pulled it out, though.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Like I love all those songs, I think. I love this song.
Oh, play it out, and we'll come back with more Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Got a question for you.
Sure.
And out there as well, if you want to answer it or you want to talk some Padres baseball, you can join us. 833-288-0973. We don't have anything scheduled specifically for the rest of this hour. But I did want to ask this question. And again, you can chime in on this or the Garrett Crochet trade rumors if you want to give us a call. Has the Padres brand been damaged the last couple of days?
No. You did this yesterday. We did this.
Not really. I mean, it's gotten... It actually bothers me.
Why?
When I see the constant headlines of Padres player banned for life.
No.
And it's everywhere.
We did this yesterday. I don't... Again...
I mean, logically, no. Padres have done nothing wrong.
Literally nothing.
But this is completely out of their control. But I would imagine the rest of the country, when they look and just see the headline,
who cares?
And they go, Padres player banned for life. What's going on there?
Two guys associated with the team both were placing bets when they weren't on the team.
Was the Dodgers brand not damaged by the Ipe Mizuhara?
Not even a little.
Scandal.
Not even a little bit.
Oh, I would argue that it at least somewhat has been.
Bro,
they've had tons of negative publicity.
But you're talking about people on Twitter. Like, that's just Twitter.
Brand awareness, it's kind of a nebulous thing, but it's a real thing that businesses, and baseball is a business.
I submit to you that
they want to have good, positive associations with their brand.
But I submit to you that the Arias, the Bauer, that stuff's more damaging to their brand, and it didn't damage their brand at all. Not even a little. I mean, fans make fun of them, you know what I mean? But, like, that's it. And if they want to have a gotcha moment over Tucapita Marcano...
You don't think the Dodgers brand has been damaged by all these things?
Not even in the slightest. Do you not follow Bill Shaken, who tweets every day that they've just signed up with a Japanese candy bar for $700 billion? They just signed up with a Japanese...
I have seen those.
Every effing day. They've got money on top of money on top of money. No advertiser is running from the hills because of Ipe Mizuhara. And no advertiser should be running from the Padres because of Tucapita Marcano or Jake Rome. Now, again, I will tell you this. If 12 guys in the clubhouse, it comes out that our entire starting nine and three of our starting pitchers were all doing an illegal rink, yes, we're screwed. We're dead. We get to have to take a week off the air just to let it cool over. Yes, that's damaging to the brand. Two clowns that made $300 bets in one case, and another one a little bit more.
I'm not saying this is a logical thing. That's not how it works.
I think it's when you read the story from the last couple of days, and actually like read the story, not just the headlines.
Sure.
No one reads the story.
You learn quickly that it wasn't really that big of a deal.
Of course.
You would have thought, like, bro, I was pretty out of pocket the last few days and would just, you know, walk through a sports book and then one of the TVs would have ESPN on or something. Like, every headline, you would have thought Tucapita Marcano was, like, the face of the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Of course.
So I
every
see
ticker,
what Ben's talking
every
about.
Headline. And it bothers me when I see it. It's every headline says, Padres player banned from baseball for life. Padres Tucapita, Padres infielder banned from baseball for life.
He is.
And if you don't follow baseball that closely, that's not a great thing
for
the Padres.
But you don't care if you don't follow baseball closely, and let's be honest, there are people that follow baseball closely and still don't really get the nuances of the game. I don't think this does one single solitary thing. I think that PEDs, that's more damaging to your brand. I think that
Padres have had to deal with that.
They've had to deal with that 100%, and that's certainly.
I do think there's something like the Padres are not well thought of among the sport of baseball. I don't think AJ Preller is well liked.
That's pretty general.
I don't think that the sport likes the way that Peter Seidler spent money.
We know that. They said it. Owners said it.
I think Tatis thing is the steroid suspension is going to hang over the team and him for long time.
Guys, I think that's more of a personal thing.
But this is how it works, man. This is how it works in sports, and this is how it works on Twitter, and I don't think there has been one. If you're an advertiser with the San Diego Padres, did you even think for a second, oh, I can't be associated with the acts of Tucapita Marcano and Jake Rome? No, you didn't. Not for a heartbeat. Not in a second. I mean, it just does nothing for me. And again, when you know that those guys were doing this on other teams, I don't think it's hurt the Red Sox brand or the Pirates brand at all. I mean,
it probably should hurt their brand a little bit more than it did the Padres.
Again, we're talking about personal responsibility here, not team response. The team All teams do their job as it pertains to gambling. All of them.
All I'm saying is the Pirates got off very lightly in terms of the PR of this compared to the Padres, who had nothing to do with it at all.
I don't know why this is such a sensitive topic for you, because it just doesn't move the needle at all. I really don't think. Yes,
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Yeah, people are going to.
I've got to imagine
people are going to bust your balls about it.
If you're in the Padres, you know, front office, you're like in Eric Grubner's office.
Right.
That you're worried about, like, is this something we need to like do anything about? What's going on? Are people going to be, you know, worried about, you know, the headlines that are out there of, you know, surrounding a guy who wasn't really even part of our team.
Don't get me wrong.
Anybody could have signed Tuca Pietermarcano in the offseason.
Don't get me wrong. I didn't like seeing it either, and I thought it was BS. That being said, I don't think it affects.
Like, the headline should have been former Pirates player, not current Padres player.
I agree.
Well, current Padre.
I understand that, but all of this happened when he was on the Pirates.
Yeah, Tom makes the brilliant point of the day. You know how you fix the Padres brand if there is a problem? You win. That's it. That's what you do. If I'm Eric Grubner, I'm worried about, hey, this team needs to win more ball games so that I, as the CEO, can make sure the ballpark is filled and we got cool stuff to do and we can get players and make money. That's his job. But as far as the brand goes, it just did not affect me in the slightest, not even a little bit. And let's talk about some that may have affected teams' brands. The Tampa Bay Rays and Wander Franco, that I think did, because, again, you don't give money to anyone. They never pay a soul. They let everybody go. They're like, all right, we'll do it this one time. You gave it to a pederast. I mean, that's the guy you picked. That is damaging to their brand. Things like that, I think, are more damaging to a brand, but I don't think Shohei and Ippe have affected the Dodgers at all. Not even a little. I mean, they make so much money. They have many
they
sponsors.
Made the choice to hire
Ippe. Yeah.
You know, I know he came from the Angels, and most of this happened while he was with the Angels, but they made the choice to hire him. That doesn't do anything.
The good thing
that means people are smarter than maybe I'm giving them credit for.
But the good thing
they understand that this isn't a Padres issue at all.
Now, listen, if there was evidence that they tried to cover up something, or that they knew, yeah, I think that's damaging to the brand, certainly. But as long as...
And there's no sign of anything like that.
None whatsoever. And the fact that, you know, Tuca Pietermarcano is going to be out of baseball forever, Groom's going to be out a year, that's just punishment handed down.
I'm A.J. Preller, I'm a little bit mad. Like, baseball, did you know that this was going on and didn't say anything? You just let me sign this guy without, you know, giving me a heads up? And they'll probably go, well, we can't talk about investigations while they're ongoing.
I think you're smart enough to know, and I'm smart enough to know, and the listening audience is smart enough to know that there's really, I mean, the only thing that really hurts a team's brand ever is when they say, we're throwing in the towel. We're trading away our best players. We want to make money. We don't care about investing in the team. We're not going to upgrade our ballpark, or we're going to move. We're moving. That hurts the team's brand. I don't think an individual player, even or two, even if they were with the Padres, I don't think it affects our brand one bit. I really don't.
All right. Hold that thought. If you want to join us, 833-288.
What is the Padres brand?
That's a good question, too. We can talk about that as well. 833-288-0973. More on the way with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Paul asked an interesting question. He said, what is the Padres brand in our last segment? And I've seen some people in the chat going, I don't know if we have a brand. Someone says, I think the Padres brand is 500 baseball.
That's been couple years.
If you look at the history of the Padres, that's actually quite an improvement over what the brand used to be. What do you think is the answer to that question? What is the Padres brand? I mean, for me, the most notable and the thing that I think most fans think about when they think about the Padres is where they play. Petco Park, great ballpark. Great ballpark experience. You always have generally a good time when you go to Petco Park. Other fans love coming to Petco Park and watching the team play. Certainly not, it's not a championship brand.
Nope.
They don't have any. You can't have a championship brand without winning some of those. I think it's a brand that has certainly improved immensely, or whatever it is, over the last few years of what it used to be. Much more relevant and significant than they were 10 years ago. And, you know, credit ownership, credit even A.J. Preller for a lot of that. But what is the brand? That's an interesting question. And I'm not sure what exactly the answer is to that question.
It's the it is a good question. It's a broad question, certainly, but it is a good question. And I don't know, man. I think when I think about the San Diego Padres and their brand, I think about potential. You know, honestly, like they're the hope, the potential that this team could be good, and then they, you know, go out and stumble against bad teams. And I think identity for a team is another thing entirely. Like, I don't think this team, I thought they were really well on their way to establishing their identity this year. And I feel like some of that might have been lost over the last couple of weeks. Don't know why, per se.
I don't know that a team's identity is necessarily the same as the brand.
It's not, but after a while. If you do it consistently for 3-4 years, like the fighting Phils, the
Cardinals of the 80s had both an identity and a brand. That because of the players they had on the team that were there for a long time, and they ran and they played great defense, and you know, sometimes that is your both identity and your brand. Sometimes the players just play for a team. The Yankees, you know what's their brand? It's the pinstripes.
Yep.
It's the history, it's the, you know, the swagger of being a Yankee. Yes, they have good players. They have won lots of championships, but I would say their brand is the pinstripes. It's the mystique of being the Yankees.
They said last night on the broadcast that game was wrapping up. Who the hell were they playing? It was on, and I'm watching it. And they said at the end, this Yankee team this year has that attitude that those old Yankee teams that they said, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. Like, we're going
Twins.
To the Twins. Talk about a team beating up on a team that's lesser than they've done it for a decade now. Plus, they have the identity now. It doesn't matter who's in front of us. We're going to go through you. And that's what you want. That's what you need here. And you do that for a couple of years, Ben, then you have your identity, your brand. I was thinking about it the other day. They were interviewing Willy Adames yesterday, and the Brewers are playing really good baseball. You know what their brand is? We'll kick your ass. We'll fight you if we have to. We're going to play hard. We're going to slide hard. We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to kick your ass. And they have an identity, and that's kind of been the brand that they've had for the last couple of years. Now, they've fallen short as well. A lot of potential, a lot of really good arms, never really materialized. It's hard to do. But as far as a brand, we're still working on ours here.
Yeah,
I think we are.
You know, and it can change. You know, the Oakland A's went the other direction. They used to have a really good brand. The Oakland A's were a respected, well-run organization, and then they transitioned, and they had the Billy Bean. The Moneyball was their brand. And, you know, you may have liked it or not liked it, but they had an identity. Now, their brand is just sadness and no fans, and it's bad. It's
maybe,
really bad.
Maybe the gunslinger brand of the all-in mentality, we're going to go for it, we're going to make moves, the riverboat gambler.
That's AJ's brand. AJ's brand, but you can fire general managers.
You can, but for now, he's been there, he's run the team.
But if AJ left, what remains as the Padres brand?
Don't know.
And I definitely think it's the ballpark, it's the experience, and I think as fans, we crave a brand that comes with the play on the field
with
a little
victories,
bit more.
Yeah.
Well, everyone loves the ballpark experience, and it's not the worst thing to be known for. We're just craving a little bit more. It's better than having a bad brand.
Of course.
I mean, the Mets spend a ton of money. Their brand is not good.
It's not.
Most people, you know, they think of the Mets as kind of a joke. They're a joke. They're an afterthought. The second team in a town. The Angels have, like, no brand at all.
No.
They're overshadowed
they're
by the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Now they're now overshadowed by the Padres, even to the south. They're, like, completely brandless.
Yes.
Ohtani was their brand for a while.
And Mike Trout. Yep.
And now they have no brand at all. Doesn't mean you can't win games. We won the last two without a brand, but they don't even have one.
Yeah, I don't know. Janine says overpaid mid players. All right, that stings a little bit. Yeah, I mean, look, they need to figure out who they are. They really do. And big picture and this season, they need to figure out what kind of team they want to be. Just hasn't materialized yet. 500 is just, it sucks. It sucks. It's, but again, right there in the fold, you know, right there in the mix. Thank you to the other teams in the NL also trying to figure it out this year. And guys underperforming, a lot of injuries, you know, are happening around baseball, guys going out. So, man, war of attrition is what a 162-game season is. And we're firmly in it still. We are we're there, you know, at 500, but they just can't seem to get anything going beyond that.
833-288-0973 if you want to join us. Let's check traffic. We'll continue on here to the top of the hour on 97.3 The Fan. Do have somewhat good news for Padres fans going forward. I believe the next 4 days they will be facing right-handed starting pitchers.
Okay, good.
Starting tonight, and then the first three, I think, against the Diamondbacks are all righties, and there's a guy that's a lefty that I haven't even heard of that's pitching on Sunday. But you are going to be facing some right-handed pitchers. It shouldn't make that much of a difference. Too Much Mortons did have the splits this morning, which I thought were interesting. So versus right-handed pitching, Padres have a 119 WRC+. It's weighted runs created. 100 is average. So second best in all of Major League Baseball. 273, 335, 412 team slash line. That's really, really, really good.
Yep.
They're outstanding offensively against right-handers. Against lefties, 93 WRC plus. That's the eighth worst in baseball. Bad, but not, I guess, as horrific as I thought. 227, 298, 343 slash line. They're two completely different teams.
They are.
Against righties and lefties. You can't, I mean, generally you face more righties than lefties. But as teams see this, they're going to get wise to it. Just as you said, Ron Washington, kind of did. All right, we got a lefty. Usually then you bring in a righty because, you know, we're going to switch it around. Their lineup's set to face a lefty. Let's bring in a righty. No, let's just bring in another lefty against the San Diego Padres. Because I look at those numbers and more teams are going to say, hey, until you show us that you can start hitting against lefties, guess what they're going to get? A diet of lefties. If someone needs to make a spot start against the Padres, guess who they're going to pick? A lefty. That's what the Padres are going to see more and more of as long as these numbers remain where they are.
And what happened when they put a righty in? Started scoring runs.
Yep.
I mean, granted, it was Luis Garcia. So double win there. Could not get that big hit there that we needed. But we're able to scratch out a couple runs. But does you nothing, man. No moral victories at all. You've now lost the series to the Los Angeles Angels, their first time winning back-to-back games at home all season long. That's a streak that you don't want to be a part of.
Bad, but what you can't do is get swept.
Bro, the salvage game today is epic.
It's pretty huge.
It's epic.
If you're Mike Schilt and your message is, doesn't matter, we don't need to sweep series, we just need to win series, then you can't get swept. If they lose today, then they will have undone almost all of what they did well in winning 8 of 10 series.
You know the Padres brand is keep the faith. That's what it's kind of always been. Keep the faith, be prior faithful. Now this year's for the faithful. I think people are, and again, I did not grow up here. I'm 14 years in. I've seen so much faith dwindle over the last 14 years, a lot. And I didn't cover the team for 8 of those years, Ben, but I have on a minute-by-minute basis since, and I've seen faith dwindle.
I would say the opposite. There's never been more.
No. There's a lot of buzz.
Well, okay, buzz.
Buzz is different. The faith of, oh, God, is this ever going to work? Yeah, it's dwindled.
Well, it's easy. I think it's easier to have faith that things are going to be better when they're always at rock bottom because there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, and
now the Padres are good enough that you can see that there's ways to go down at this point.
Don't misinterpret the fact that, like, Petco Park is full and people are way into the team and more people are talking about it and everything else. That's a good thing inherently. But the faith, when things like what happened the last 3 days happen, that's when the faith dwindles a little bit. And that's happened over the years. Last year, I mean, holy cow, my faith last year went from as high as you could be to rock bottom. I mean, just as rock bottom as it got. I did not want that. That little win streak at the end of the year made me want to jam a pen in my eye. I was so mad about that win streak that inspired, we're going to go on a run when it doesn't matter. The faith that people have in the roster, how to build a roster, what we're going to do moving forward, that's dwindled. I don't think you could say differently. It really has.
And again, we're sitting here with 98 games remaining in the season. Padres still have the fifth best record in the National League. And there's still every possibility is ahead of them.
Yeah.
They could They could play decent baseball the rest of the year, cruise to the playoffs, have an opportunity in October. They can play like they have the last 2 days and eventually get passed by other teams, miss the playoffs again, and clean house at the end of the season and go in a different direction.
But I'll tell you what.
We haven't really learned anything yet this year.
I'll get hit with a baseball bat upside my head when I walk out to my car, if I got on the radio and said, hey, just relax. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, guys. I want to feel it. That's what Peter Seidler would tell us to do. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. These guys are going to work. They're going to work.
Logic and history, though, logic says, and history 60 says, games in,
it says
team,
different.
It tells you who your team is.
It says different. It says different. But, again, you know, not to keep going back and forth on both sides of the fence, but 500 may be good enough to get a second wild card this year. So, you
and
know, listen.
We all said.
Is that a credit to the Padres or
A discredit to the rest of the season, but it's a symptom of what's happening.
We all said at the beginning of the season, this is probably a team that is right around 500, maybe a couple of games above 500.
Here we are.
So I guess we've all been right.
You're a genius.
We are completely right. Brilliant. About the San Diego Padres. Yep. That's why you listen to us.
Yes.
Our prognostication skills are second to none. We identified this team.
We're often wrong.
Team is probably around 82 to 85 wins, and nothing has really changed that.
Yep.
They're still around 82 to 85 win
Correct.
Team at this point.
Yeah, I think they're at 81 now. Yeah, obviously. Yep.
So logic would say that this team should not upset us as much as last year's team.
Right. But why? But it tends to.
They're not. I'm much better this year than I was last.
The last 2 days felt the most like last year, though, any other days this season.
You know what the last two nights were? Boring. They were extremely, extremely boring. The boring Padres showed up, and I don't like the boring Padres. The San Diego Padres.
It's our 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Pauly, Rhino Report headlines coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Pauly asked an interesting question. He said, what is the Padres brand in our last segment? And I've seen some people in the chat going, I don't know if we have a brand. Someone says, I think the Padres brand is 500 baseball.
That's been couple years.
If you look at the history of the Padres, that's actually quite an improvement over what the brand used to be. What do you think is the answer to that question? What is the Padres brand? I mean, for me, the most notable and the thing that I think most fans think about when they think about the Padres is where they play. Petco Park, great ballpark. Great ballpark experience. You always have generally a good time when you go to Petco Park. Other fans love coming to Petco Park and watching the team play. Certainly not, it's not a championship brand.
Nope.
They don't have any. You can't have a championship brand without winning some of those. I think it's a brand that has certainly improved immensely, or whatever it is, over the last few years of what it used to be. Much more relevant and significant than they were 10 years ago. And, you know, credit ownership, credit even A.J. Preller for a lot of that. But what is the brand? That's an interesting question. And I'm not sure what exactly the answer is to that question.
It's the, it is a good question. It's a broad question, certainly, but it is a good question. And I don't know, man. I think when I think about the San Diego Padres and their brand, I think about potential, you know, honestly, like they're the hope, the potential that this team could be good, and then they, you know, go out and stumble against bad teams. And I think identity for a team is another thing entirely. Like, I don't think this team, I thought they were really well on their way to establishing their identity this year. And I feel like some of that might have been lost over the last couple of weeks. Don't know why, per se.
I don't know that a team's identity is necessarily the same as the brand.
It's not. But after a while, if you do it consistently for 3-4 years,
the Cardinals of the 80s
correct.
Had both an identity and a brand.
Of course.
That because of the players they had on the team that were there for a long time, and they ran, and they played great defense, and you know, sometimes that is your both identity and your brand. Sometimes the players just play for a team. The Yankees, you know, what's their brand? It's the pinstripes.
Yep.
It's the history. It's the, you know, the the swagger of being a Yankee. Yes, they have good players. They have won lots of championships, but I would say their brand is it's the pinstripes. It's the mystique of being the Yankees.
They said last night on the broadcast that game was wrapping up. Who the hell were they playing? It was on. It was on, and I'm watching it. And they said at the end, this Yankee team this year has that attitude that those old Yankee teams that they said it doesn't matter who the opponent is. Like we're going
Twins.
To the Twins. We're who they just talk about a team beating up on a team that's lesser than they've done it for a decade now plus. They have the identity now. It doesn't matter who's in front of us. We're going to go through you. And that's what you want. That's what you need here. And you do that for a couple of years, Ben. Then you have your identity, your brand. I think I was thinking about it the other day. They were interviewing Willie Adames yesterday, and the Brewers are playing really good baseball. You know what their brand is? We'll kick your ass. We'll fight you if we have to. We're going to play hard. We're going to slide hard. We're going to be aggressive. And we're going to kick your ass. And they have an identity. And that's kind of been the brand that they've had for the last couple of years. Now, they've fallen short as well. A lot of potential. A lot of really good arms. Never really materialized. It's hard to do. But as far as a brand, we're still working on ours here.
Yeah,
I think we are.
You know, and it can change. You know, the Oakland A's went the other direction. They used to have a really good brand. The Oakland A's were a respected, well-run organization, and then they transitioned, and they had the Billy Bean. The Moneyball was their brand. Moneyball was their brand. And you know, you may have liked it or not liked it, but they had an identity. Now, their brand is just sadness and no fans, and it's bad. It's
maybe,
really bad.
Maybe the gunslinger brand of the all-in mentality, we're going to go for it, we're going to make moves, the riverboat gambler.
That's AJ's brand. AJ's brand, but you can fire general managers.
You can, but for now, he's been there, he's run the
team.
Yeah,
but if AJ left, what remains as the Padres brand?
Don't know.
And I definitely think it's the ballpark, it's the experience, and I think as fans, we crave a brand that comes with the play on the field
with
a little
victories,
bit more.
Yeah.
Well, everyone loves the ballpark experience, and it's not the worst thing to be known for. We're just craving a little bit more. It's better than having a bad brand.
Of course.
I mean, the Mets spend a ton of money. Their brand is not good.
It's not.
Most people, you know, they think of the Mets as kind of a joke. They're a joke. They're an afterthought. The second team in a town. The Angels have like no brand at all.
No.
They're overshadowed
they're
by the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Now they're now overshadowed by the Padres, even to the south. They're like completely brandless.
Yes.
Ohtani was their brand for a while.
And Mike Trout. Yep.
And now they have no brand at all. Doesn't mean you can't win games. They won the last two without a brand, but they don't even have one.
Yeah, I don't know. Janine says overpaid mid players. All right, that stings a little bit. Yeah, I mean, look, they need to figure out who they are. They really do. And big picture and this season, they need to figure out what kind of team they want to be. Just hasn't materialized yet. 500 is just, it sucks. It sucks. It's, but again, right there in the fold, you know, right there in the mix. Thank you to the other teams in the NL also trying to figure it out this year. And guys underperforming, a lot of injuries, you know, are happening around baseball, guys going out. So, man, war of attrition is what 162-game season is. And we're firmly in it still. We're there, you know, at 500, but they just can't seem to get anything going beyond that.
833-288-0973 if you want to join us. Let's check traffic. We'll continue on here to the top of the hour on 97.3 The Fan. Do have somewhat good news for Padres fans going forward. I believe the next 4 days they will be facing right-handed starting pitchers.
Okay, good.
Starting tonight, and then the first three, I think, against the Diamondbacks are all righties, and there's a guy that's a lefty that I haven't even heard of that's pitching on Sunday. But you are going to be facing some right-handed pitchers. It shouldn't make that much of a difference. Too Much Mortons did have the splits this morning, which I thought were interesting. So versus right-handed pitching, Padres have a 119 WRC+. It's weighted runs created. 100 is average. So second best in all of Major League Baseball. 273, 335, 412 team slash line. That's really, really, really good.
Yep.
They're outstanding offensively against right-handers. Against lefties, 93 WRC+. That's the eighth worst in baseball. Bad, but not, I guess, as horrific as I thought. 227, 298, 343 slash line. They're two completely different teams.
They are.
Against righties and lefties. You can't, I mean, generally you face more righties than lefties. But as teams see this, They're going to get wise to it. Just as you said, Ron Washington, kind of did. All right, we got a lefty. Usually then you bring in a righty because you know, we're going to switch it around. Their lineup's set to face a lefty. Let's bring in a righty. No, let's just bring in another lefty against the San Diego Padres. Because I look at those numbers, and more teams are going to say, hey, until you show us that you can start hitting against lefties, guess what they're going to get? A diet of lefties. If someone needs to make a spot start against the Padres, guess who they're going to pick? A lefty. That's what the Padres are going to see more and more of as long as these numbers remain where they are.
And what happened when they put a righty in? Started scoring runs. Yep. I mean, granted, it was Luis Garcia. So double win there. Could not get that big hit there that we needed. But we're able to scratch out a couple runs. But does you nothing, man. No moral victories at all. You've now lost the series to the Los Angeles Angels, their first time winning back-to-back games at home all season long. That's a streak that you don't want to be a part of.
Bad, but what you can't do is get swept.
Bro, the salvage game today is epic.
It's pretty huge.
It's epic.
If you're Mike Schilt and your message is, doesn't matter, we don't need to sweep series, we just need to win series, then you can't get swept. If they lose today, then they will have undone almost all of what they did well in winning 8 of 10 series.
You know the Padres brand is keep the faith. That's what it's kind of always been. Keep the faith, be prior faithful. Now this year's is for the faithful. I think people are, and again, I did not grow up here. I'm 14 years in. I've seen so much faith dwindle over the last 14 years, a lot. And I didn't cover the team for 8 of those years, Ben, but I have on a minute-by-minute basis since, and I've seen a lot of the faith
I would
dwindle.
Say the opposite. There's never been more.
No. There's a lot of buzz.
Well, okay, buzz.
Buzz is different. The faith of, oh, God, is this ever going to work? Yeah, it's dwindled.
Well, it's easy. I think it's easier to have faith that things are going to be better when they're always at rock bottom because there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, and
now the Padres are good enough that you can see that there's ways to go down at this point.
Don't misinterpret the fact that, like, Petco Park is full and people are way into the team and more people are talking about it and everything else. That's a good thing inherently. But the faith, when things like what happened the last 3 days happen, that's when the faith dwindles a little bit. And that's happened over the years. Last year, I mean, holy cow, my faith last year went from as high as you could be to rock bottom. I mean, just as rock bottom as it got. I did not want that. That little win streak at the end of the year made me want to jam a pen in my eye. I was so mad about that win streak that inspired, we're going to go on a run when it doesn't matter. The faith that people have in the roster, how to build a roster, what we're going to do moving forward, that's dwindled. I don't think you could say differently. It really has.
And again, we're sitting here with 98 games remaining in the season. Padres still have the 5th best record in the National League. And there's still every possibility is ahead of them.
Yeah.
They could play decent baseball the rest of the year, cruise to the playoffs, have an opportunity in October. They can play like they have the last 2 days and eventually get passed by other teams, miss the playoffs again, and clean house at the end of the season and go in a different direction.
But I'll tell you what.
We haven't really learned anything yet this year.
I'll get hit with a baseball bat upside my head when I walk out to my car. If I got on the radio and said, hey, just relax. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, guys. I want to feel it. That's what Peter Seidler would tell us to do. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. These guys are going to work. They're going to work.
Logic and history, though,
it says 60 games in, it says different.
It tells you who your team is.
It says different. It says different. But again, you know, not to keep going back and forth on both sides of the fence, but 500 may be good enough to get a second wild card this year. So,
we all said.
Is that a credit to the Padres or a discredit?
A discredit to the rest of the season, but it's a symptom of what's happening.
We all said at the beginning of the season, this is probably a team that is right around 500, maybe a couple of games above 500.
Here we are.
So I guess we've all been right.
You're a genius.
We are completely right. Brilliant. About the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
That's why you listen to us.
Yes.
Our prognostication skills are second to none. We identified this team.
We're often wrong.
Team is probably around 82 to 85 wins, and nothing has really changed that.
Yep.
They're still around 82 to 85 win Correct. Team at this point.
Yeah, I think they're at 81 now. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
So logic would say that this team should not upset us as much as last year's team.
Right. But why? But it tends to.
They're not. The last I'm much better this year than I was last.
The last 2 days felt the most like last year, though, any other days this season.
You know what the last two nights were? Boring. They were extremely, extremely boring. The boring Padres showed up, and I don't like the boring Padres. The San Diego Padres.
It's our 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Paulie, Rhino Report headlines coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.